How do we build our dreams when we don't know what we want? Learn how Flaunt solves this problem in 5 bold and glittery steps with radio host Laura Cheadle. Using a combination of best girlfriend discussions and therapy-based exercises, listeners are taught how to build their dreams and live their sparkle. Flaunt. Find your fetish, laugh out loud, accept unconditionally, navigate the negative, and trust in your truth.
Hello and welcome to Flaunt, Build Your Dreams and Live Your Sparkle. I am Laura Cheadle, and on today's show, we are featuring a very special guest. This guest is somebody who has really taken her love of books and of words and of crafting, and she has made it into a career that really, really suits her. She started her career as an editor in New York, working for HarperCollins. She's also worked at Penguin and Hyperion Books, and she later became the vice president and the editorial director for Sounds True, which is a spirituality publisher in Boulder, Colorado. Her focus has always been specializing in books that change readers' lives for the better, which I just love that because, as you know, as listeners of this show, it's all about taking our lives and making them better, making them more us, making them more authentic. So that is one of the reasons that once I met Kelly, I was really attracted to her and her work and was really excited to feature her. Anyway, she has worked very closely with a wide variety of personal growth authors, and I'll let her talk a little bit about some of those people later. But she has founded her own literary art studio called KN Literary Arts. And KN is a book studio that helps authors edit, write, and market their books. And I actually worked with her and with KN Literary when I was putting together a book proposal a couple of years ago. And I was very impressed with their integrity, the quality of material, the comments, the back and forth. There was just so much that I loved about them. So if you are thinking about writing a book, or if you have written a book and you need some help, I would highly recommend KN Literary. But here today to tell you a little bit about her and her journey is Kelly Notaris. So welcome, Kelly.
Hi. Thank you, Laura. What a wonderful, kind introduction. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Would you like to just kind of jump right in and tell us, first of all, about your passion for words and writing and editing and language and all of that stuff?
Yeah, definitely. So I have always been a reader. Like, that has been an identity I've had since I was very, very young. I remember just summertime was my favorite time of year because my mom would take us to the bookstore. It was a, like, used bookshop in the hometown that I grew up in, and we would go and just literally fill grocery sacks with novels and go home and sit and read all summer, me, my mom, and my sister. And it just was just such a wonderful adventure every time I got to open a new book. And then I happened to be really good at that kind of thing, at language and communication. Throughout high school, I always was told by my teachers, like, you're a really good writer. And then into college, same thing. And at the end of college, I actually I was pre-law in college. And I remember just knowing I didn't think I was going to be happy as a lawyer. And I went to one of my literature professors, or a communications professor, and I asked him, what should I do? And he said, you should write books. And I just remember thinking, what is he talking about? You know, who can write a book? Like, I can barely write a paper, much less a book. And I just remember saying to him, what would I write about? And he said, well, you need to take a few years and get a little life experience, but then my guess is you're going to be writing books. Well, you know, I don't know if that was prophecy or if he planted the seed, but I had been working in a bookstore all through college and just loved books and found my way into the book publishing business. So I really was strategic about it. I like to do everything really well, and I didn't want to end up wanting to write books and not know how to get them published, not know how they get put together. So I decided I would actually go learn from the experts. And so I put my resume out there and got a job as an editorial assistant at a book publishing company in New York. It was called Avon Books at the time. They're still in print, but then we got bought by HarperCollins during the time I was there, and moved over there, and then jumped ship and went to Penguin for a little while, and then to Hyperion. And that's really when, I don't know how to say this, but, you know, I really love the topic that you talk about, Laura, about finding our way in life by the things that we, that really call us. And a new call started right around the time that I got to Hyperion. I realized, first of all, that I wasn't happy living in New York. That was not my place. I had gotten such a wonderful education in the book business there, and I was very grateful for that, but it wasn't where I wanted to spend the rest of my life. And secondly, I started meditating. And I started meditating, I started meditating for, quote, stress reduction, because I was actually quite stressed out in my work. But what ultimately came of that was a return to myself, and I had to start looking at, like, who is Kelly beyond this identity that I built here in New York in the book publishing business? And so by the time I was, you know, in that last position there, I was starting to feel the discomfort and the places where the life I was living was not actually in alignment with who I was. And so those, the combination of things ultimately led me, one of my meditation teachers introduced me to someone who introduced me to someone who ended up putting me up for a job at Sounds True. So I ended up leaving New York and moving to Boulder when I was 30 and ended up running the creative division at Sounds True for 4 years. So maybe I'll leave it at that. There's so many more layers and so many more developments, but that's the first part of my story at least.
Right. No, and that is fascinating. And I loved how you said you meditated, and through that meditation, you found out there was a slight disconnect. There was a slight, you know, sense of being out of alignment somewhere, because that is something that I am so passionate about, helping people feel, and also the experience of realizing that something is slightly off. I need to make some changes. And the fact that it's not a catastrophic, horrible thing. It's not that, oh my gosh, everything that I've worked for is now for naught. It's a calling. Yeah, just tweak it and adjust it. And perhaps that would have been a complete career change for you, and you would have gone back to law school or something like that. Or perhaps it's just a modification. And either one, just being okay and being aware enough to make that change.
Yeah,
now, here's
I'll
my
say,
question.
Well, I'll just say really quickly that it doesn't have to be a monumental change, but it does, for me, it felt like one. So just to say that in that making of the change of leaving New York and moving to Boulder, I really had to take my identity apart and put it back together. So just to tell your listeners that if it feels like, oh, my gosh, this is too big of a change to make, take it in bite-sized pieces. And know that, that kind of a transition does feel big, even if it's a little one, even if it's just changing jobs, it can feel pretty monumental.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my question that I kind of wanted to move into along those same lines was, in our life, we all have supporters and we all have detractors. And sometimes the detractors are people that we love, and they're just trying to make us be safe. You know, like, it's a smart financial decision. You have to stay there. And they have our best interest at heart, but they don't understand that they're hurting our hearts. I was curious if your experience with your supporters and your detractors and how that worked for you, you know, calling your parents or your best friend or, you know, a partner and saying, hey, I'm leaving this amazing publishing job in New York to go to Boulder. Did you have experiences?
Definitely. Oh, yeah. People were freaked out. I mean, I think there's a way that a lot of times in the New York publishing business, there's kind of just an underlying assumption that there's no place you can do it except for New York. And the truth is that New York is the center of major, of big publishing in the U.S., so that's true in a way. But so I had digested this idea that if I were to leave, I was going to have to change careers 100%. I couldn't actually stay in books. I didn't realize, oh, there are all these other smaller publishers. Because the big publishers have the attitude of, like, why would you ever go to a smaller publisher? So here I had built this very good, I would say, reputation for myself within a wonderful job, by far the best job I had in New York at Hyperion at the time. And then I decided to leave and go to this tiny little rinky-dink publisher by their, you know, their standards. Anyone
exactly.
who knows Sounds True, yeah. Anyone who knows Sounds True knows that it's an amazing, I mean, just like one of the deepest spirituality publishers that are working today. But at the time, I had never even heard of them. So I remember the day it came out in the trade magazine, Publishers Weekly, that I was leaving Hyperion and going to Sounds True. I got a flood of calls, people being like, what are you doing? From agents, from former people that I'd worked with, just like shocked. One even said, I obviously didn't really know you. And I remember like, wow. I mean, it was really, really intense. Now on the other side, when I was waiting, when I was trying to make that decision, and it was a very difficult decision, I got offered the job, and it took me over a month to accept it because I had to work through all the different changes that were going to need to happen in my inner world as well as my outer world, one of which was the embarrassment of that announcement in the trade magazines that I was leaving big publishing and going to this little place that nobody had ever heard of. I remember I had a conversation with one of my very first mentors in the business. She was basically my second boss when we transitioned from Avon Books, which was part of the Hearst book group, over to HarperCollins. I actually ended up working for her there. And she was just such a mentor. Everything I know about editing, I learned from Jennifer Hershey. She's a really wonderful, wonderful editor, woman, friend. And I remember calling her and just saying, I got this job offer, and I so want to get out of New York, and I think it might be my last shot getting out of New York, but I just don't know. And I remember her saying, the only mistake you could make here is to not try. Because if you try and you don't like it, you come back and I will hire you back into the business, so you don't need to worry about that. And then you'll know that you really wanted to be in New York. So it's a win-win situation. And when I put those pieces together and I realized that my fear was that I wouldn't be able to come back if I wanted to, and then she just sort of cleared that obstacle right out of the way. From that point onward, I felt just, yes, I am going to take this. I need to take this. It's what I need to do. And I'll say also, you know, there was a little bit of fear, I think, on the part of my parents that I was making a change, but they were also very, very happy that I was leaving New York. Mm-hmm. They never, you know, I grew up in the Midwest. It's just a different vibe. They didn't like coming to visit me in New York. They were like, oh yeah, Colorado. That sounds better. So there was, you know, it was a little bit, everyone was a little nervous, but I really overall felt very supported.
Good. Good. Yeah, because I think sometimes that is the most difficult piece of we don't want to let people down, and we don't want to be seen as like that, the person making some radical change.
Right.
And even though we know our own heart, it's nice to feel supported.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I did. I really did. I felt supported not just by the people in my life, but by the unseen realms as well, if we're allowed to talk about that. I really felt like
absolutely.
There was something. Okay, good. There was something that was drawing me there that was bigger than my own plan for my life.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough,
absolutely.
What's unfolded since then is genuinely beyond my wildest dreams. As crazy as that sounds, it really is. I could never have imagined being the owner of a business, helping so many people with their books, being able to have a business in books and words that's not necessarily tied in with the big publishing, you know, giants out there in New York, and that I could, as I do now, really organize my day however I'd like. So there were a lot of different things that I thought, just you grow up and you get a job and you sit behind a desk and you work for somebody, because that was sort of the model that I'd seen around me growing up. And I have a very different reality than that, and I'm so grateful that I do. But I would not have been able to find the pathway here if I hadn't let go and trust in that month between getting the job offer, it Sounds True, and actually taking it.
Yes. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that. You finally leave. You wave goodbye. You end up in Boulder. What was that like for you, going to a small publishing house after being in New York? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was tough. So it Sounds True publishes a lot of books there. I mean, they publish genuinely some of my favorite spiritual teachers, people that I look up to that I think are truly forging a new way for consciousness to be manifest in our world. So I am incredibly proud to have worked there. When I first got there, I was not as exposed to that world. And I was coming from New York, again, where there's a little category off to the side that's called, that's named by the business, woo-woo books. So that would be something you'd call like New Age, self-help, personal growth, spirituality, all the books that I now do that are the specialty at KN Literary, that are the books that I read myself. They have this little kind of derogatory corner of the market they call woo-woo. So here I was going straight into woo-woo, and I was feeling, I was feeling nervous about it. And I remember one of the first things that they put on my plate was this artwork that someone had come to them and said, I download artwork from the Arcturians, who, if you don't know, are a an alien race of light beings that live among the, like, star system Arcturia, okay? So I basically, at the time, like, spit out my coffee all over the desk and was like, are you kidding me? I am so sorry. Like, is this a joke? Like, you've got to be crazy. And they're like, what should we do with this? What should we do with this artwork? And I remember being like, put it in the trash can?
Exactly.
So I really had to step over myself to say, well, this is a job I've taken, and for reasons I cannot fathom, they think this is a good idea. So so we ended up, you know, envisioning something for it, and it was it turned into a beautiful box that was an art, these beautiful cards of this artwork, and it was actually called the Sacred Geometry Kit, and it was working with sacred geometry, which subsequently I now totally believe in, and had some really wonderful experiences using that kit. So it took, it just was a journey for me. It wasn't like I landed there immediately and thought, yeah, I found my home. I landed there and I thought, I have to keep my attention on what I like about this place. I can bring my dog to work. It's in Colorado and not in New York. I look out my window and I see the mountains. I am just much more free. I don't spend every night out going out to drinks with people in the business. Instead, I go for hikes. So there was a lot. It was more of a lifestyle. So the lifestyle shift was so easy to make, and I was just, it was back to who I was and who I wanted to be. The work that I was doing, it was an adjustment. And now it seems so second nature, but at the time it definitely took some energy.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I just have to throw in, when you said Sacred Geometry Kit, I have that sitting upstairs.
Oh,
I just picked that up and I thought, yeah, I need this, and I haven't even opened it yet, but it's sitting upstairs next to my bed.
Love that. And actually, the kit, it turned out beautifully, and I really think it's a great, I mean, it's really, I myself have had some experiences using that, so there you go. Isn't that
good?
That would be the story I would choose to tell, and you have it sitting up.
Yes! Yeah, you should see my face. I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's
totally.
Mine.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you have made this lifestyle adjustment. You're doing what you like. You're kind of moving more into, it sounds like, your true identity and things that you like.
Yeah.
How long were you at Sounds True, and then what was that next layer of transition for you?
Yeah, so this was a really interesting, now you're going to get to the juicy part of my journey. So basically, I worked there for 4 years total, and at about 3 years, the thing I'd come to do had been done, which was, when I got there, they did not really have a great handle on how to publish books and make sure that they came out on time and without error. So they had gone from being an audiobook publisher for a very long time to becoming a book publisher, and they didn't have anyone on staff who really knew what that meant. So that's why they brought me in. And after being there for, you know, several years, things were running super smoothly. Everything was great. And suddenly I found myself on the executive team of this company, sitting in meetings, talking about budgets and strategies, and I literally make my eyes glaze over just thinking about it, just not my thing at all. And so I realized that a change was sort of on its way. Well, then I got a phone call from an old friend who was a literary agent in New York, and she said, I have a book that needs a book proposal ghostwritten, and I think you should do it. And I thought, well, why are you even saying this? This is insane. Like, I could not, I have so many things to do on a given day. I don't have time to write a book proposal for you. I've got plenty of work. I've got, you know, a department of
right, real work
that I'm managing. Yeah, exactly. I'm not writing
right.
a book proposal. But why do you ask? And she said, well, the author really wants a Buddhist to write it, and you're the only one that I know. So that just perked up my ears a little bit. I'm like, okay, well, what's it about? Well, it turns out it was about a sexuality practice that this author had pioneered that was focused on a woman's orgasm. And
wow.
She was, yes, and she had a background herself in Buddhist philosophy, and they were looking for someone with that kind of sensibility to ghostwrite a book proposal for her. She'd had a big feature on her in the New York Times, and of course, I had actually read that feature, and I remember reading it and thinking, boy, this woman's going to get just inundated with agents and publishers who are going to want to, you know, work with her. And sure enough, it happened, and then it landed on my plate. And I just thought, you know, that's too coincidental, and okay,
mm-hmm.
why not? I'll do it. So I ended up working on this book proposal, and then the author sold it and asked me if I would come work for her and write for her for a year. And I just saw it as a really wonderful, although very scary, exit strategy. And so this is a place where I'll also say I tend to work the edge of scary more than the average person. So here I
yes.
was, talk about making a change from, you know, very conventional success, you know, from the outside of New York publishing. I leave and I go to this sort of smaller, weird, woo-woo spirituality publisher. And then I go even weirder and more niche. I leave to go
mm-hmm.
write sexuality books for a woman who is doing things that are very much at the edge of what most people consider to be possible. And
right.
it was a huge leap for me. And again, I had to work through a lot of identity issues and a lot of feeling like, this is going to make me look really bad. People are not
right.
going to respect me for this. What am I doing? But there was this inner voice that just said, yes, do this. And
yes.
I justified it because I thought, well, I'm going to work for her, but I can set my own hours. I'm going to be writing for a living. Like, this sounds like a transition that I'd like to make away from, again, like I said earlier, that 9-to-5 desk job where I'm working for someone. Even if it was someone as amazing as Tammy Simon, who runs Sounds True, I actually
mm-hmm.
felt like I need to make this leap. So I left and went and wrote for Nicole, this author, Nicole Dadone, for a year. And I ended up working for her for a year and a half and moved out to San Francisco to be closer to her. And she had a spiritual community out there, and I became a part of that community. And a year and a half after that, I moved back to Boulder and sort of had two careers suddenly. I was both doing my editing, which I was doing a lot of editing for Hay House because my dear friend Patty Gift had become the editorial director there and sent me a lot of work, which was wonderful. And then I was also coaching in spirituality and sexuality. And so it was a really interesting time for me to, again, put myself out into the world doing something that was not expected of me, if you look at my career
yes.
trajectory, but felt
yes.
really right. In my being, it felt really, really right. And I did that for 3 years in addition to the editing. And then a transition happened where the editing that I was doing turned into a business. And I can talk a little bit about that, how that happened. But I no longer had time to be coaching, you know, eight
right.
clients a week. And so I actually went on a sabbatical that in like 2013 that has actually never picked it up again. And I may someday,
right.
but it was a wonderful time period. So that's another thing I'd like to say to the people that you're, you know, that are listening to us, is that the types of transitions we're talking about, they don't have to be forever. And you can follow them as long as it feels right to you. This is what I need to be doing right now. I don't know how long it's going to last. And for me,
right.
I'm don't know how long I'm going to be coaching people around their sexuality, but it was such a gift to do it when I did, and such an honor, and I loved it, and I will always look back at that particular period in my life as being very rich. But then life was like, now we're going over here, and
mm-hmm.
gave birth to KN Literary Arts, and so that's sort of been the last 3 years of my journey.
Oh, exactly. And before we move into the KN Literary Arts, I want to go back to something you said about
yeah.
working the edge of scary.
yeah,
because
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I mean, so much. Yes, that is me. And some of my listeners know, but I'm just going to kind of, you know, jump back into this. I was a corporate attorney for almost 10 years. I left to stay home with my kids. You know, same thing people are saying, what are you doing? I had a woman come into my office my last day of work and say, you're letting down women everywhere. How could you do this to us? How could you let a man support you? Yeah. And, you know, after being, you're like, didn't see that one coming. And then after a couple years, felt the calling to go back and get an associate's degree, really, after getting a doctorate. Sure, I'll get an associate's in hypnotherapy. And I'll go learn to be an angel reader. And, you know, you're right. It's scary and it's weird, but it's just the calling. And as long as you follow that, there is no wrong. And my best personal growth has come from working that edge of scary. And, and I think sometimes for me, working the edge of scary really shows me that I'm on the edge of doing something that is right for me. It means that I have found my soul's calling and it's about to be revealed to me, and suddenly I'm going to be carried forth on this new journey, and that's why it gets extra scary, because it's here.
Yeah, I mean, I can sort of, my version of that is that there's the thing that is scary for me tends to be that I sense there's a rabbit hole on the other side of this decision. Things are going to change pretty radically for me, and I'm going to have to go through this identity revision where I thought I was this person, and now, like, I thought I was somebody who was sort of mainstream, and now I'm going to go to this weird little publisher. Like, that's not mainstream, so I have to adjust. No, I'm actually kind of the woo-woo one. Oh, my gosh. Okay, how do I work with all the judgments I've had about the woo-woo one over the years to the point where I can actually step into it and proudly say, yep, I'm the woo-woo one. And then to leave that to go work for this, you know, sexuality, do this sexuality work, which is, of course, one of the main taboos in our culture, to say, like, oh, I'm the one who's going to make that leap. Oh, my gosh. I had to just work it so carefully, so much journaling, so much talking to friends, so much meditating to really get through all of my own internal objections to being, quote, that person. But once I did, once we do that, and I imagine you had the same thing. I mean, leaving corporate law could not have been easy, and to then go on to do what you're doing now, you know, it's just like
to be the woo-woo one.
To be the woo-woo one. It's a really hard change for a particular part of our ego. But on the other side of it, I love who I am so deeply. And I have no doubt that I'm living the life I'm supposed to be living. And I doubted that most days when I lived in New York. I thought, what am I doing with my life? This isn't what I want to do. This isn't where I want to be. And everything that wasn't working seemed to be because I wasn't doing something I was supposed to be doing. And now I literally never have that feeling anymore, because I trust myself so much that when the right thing comes along, when just the winds of change move in, I am willing to flow with them. And I could have five more careers easily over the course of my life. It would not surprise me in the slightest. And each one of them would be rich and rewarding in its own way.
Absolutely. And you had said something a little bit earlier, and I can't remember the exact words you used because I didn't write them down, but it was about how that things pull together from different facets of your life, and like suddenly you're pulling in some of this woo-woo stuff, and you're pulling in, and you're using skills, and you're using, you know, that you loved reading and that you loved books, and it's like you're pulling together all these different things that you love, and you're just kind of trusting and meditating, and this is my identity, and something was created that was more than you could have planned.
Yes, totally.
And isn't that the truth? We limit ourselves through our thoughts so much because we see 9-to-5 job with a good retirement, and that's not what's there is better. What's there is
what's
way more.
Yeah, and you know, it's an interesting place where I've also had to come to terms with the fact that not everybody. There are people who really actually genuinely feel best in a 9-to-5 job. And there are people who aren't looking necessarily to make a huge life transition. In fact, the value that they place more highly is on stability. And it's been hard for me to make that adjustment because I sort of feel like everybody should be like me. But I've really, in the past few years, come to see the value in having different people doing different things. I'll give you a quick example. As you know, my partner is very sick. And right now, I'm in this place in my life where I want to be able to have maximum freedom to work whenever I want, from wherever I want. This is far before he got sick. So this has just been part of the values that I've been using to create my life. Meanwhile, we are working with doctors, especially a couple of them who have been so amazing, who literally one of our doctors had stayed up all night the night before creating a PowerPoint about Benjamin's case because there was a doctor flying in from the Mayo Clinic who she wanted to show it to and just make sure that she was seeing things accurately. And I thought to myself, wow, this woman is not trying to work as little as possible and make as much money as she can. You know what I mean? Which is kind of like to be out there on the web, right? There's a lot of people that are like, oh, my gosh, work 4 hours, you know, a week and make more money than you ever did before by doing very little. Like, you know, like whatever, mojitos on the rooftop in Bangkok, whatever you want, you know, like these kinds of things. And that all sounds great. But, like, if we didn't have Dr. Umam working at, like, 6 days a week and sometimes overnight on our behalf, I don't know what we would have done. So I also want to just really do a shout out to people who are choosing the types of careers and the types of work that that keep them somehow more tied down, but are giving them just as much satisfaction. And I think that that's what you hold with this podcast and what you're doing with your work is like, I can see how it means a lot to you that people be authentic. And that they really look at themselves and see what's right for me. And it may be that it's a 9-to-5 job. For you and I, that was not the case. There was something out there that was more important and more authentic for us. And that I also totally value and respect, and I know you do as well, people who are on a different path for whom a 9-to-5 job is absolutely perfect. Yeah. So sort of all different sides.
Oh, exactly, because I think when you are doing what you love, then you will stay up all night putting together the podcast. It's like I will stay up all night doing choreography and working on a new dance routine and meditating on behalf of my clients. I will not stay up all night to put together a budget. I don't care.
Right. Exactly.
So you're you're absolutely right. Do what you love, and the world needs us. The world needs us all to do exactly what we are called to do.
Totally.
So, okay, so here you are, you know, kind of in a place with Sounds True that you don't necessarily love. You jump into doing some of the writing and the coaching. How does that transition to KM look like? How, I mean, since you don't like doing the budgeting, when you start your own business, I know, you have to do a website, you have to do a business plan, you have to do all this stuff that makes me get the heebie-jeebies. How did you get over that? How did you just make that decision to, hey, I'm going to file with the Secretary of State, I'm going to get my name, I'm going to hire people? How did that all look for you, and was that scary?
So, Laura, it's so funny. This is just really to your point about how our careers can develop in a different way, and they don't have to be – you don't have to necessarily know what you're doing. You just follow what, the next right step. I mean, I did not – if you had asked me if I wanted to start a business, honestly, pardon me, but like, hell no. I had no interest in starting a business. I had no interest in doing – the budgeting or hiring people, or in no way I was not interested. What I was interested in was continuing to have my editing, both, you know, the joy I get out of editing, I actually love editing, and then also the income from that. And some changes were happening internally at Hay House, who was giving me most of my freelance work, where they were bringing someone on full-time in-house that was going to mean that that work was transitioning off of my plate. And I remember thinking, huh, I wonder what's going to happen there. Like, I don't want to go be that person. They did ask me if I wanted to work for them full time, and I was definitely not interested in that. But I also didn't want to lose my editing income. So through my Hay House connections, I had met Nancy Levin, who it was at the time the event director for Hay House. She's now an author and speaker and writer and amazing person, and also my best friend. She lives in Boulder. We connected and just immediately, like instantly, We've been very, very close friends for about 6 years now. And so she said, hey, you know, we're doing a writer's workshop down in Denver for Hay House, and Wayne Dyer is going to be headlining. And, you know, I think if you were to come down, you would be able to get some work out of it. And I remember thinking, you know, that's probably not a bad idea. I don't really like glad handing and being like, hi, I'm an editor. Hi, I'm an editor. But, you know, I will figure something out. I'll make some cards and I will put a website up. So I already knew that I needed to do something around creating a business, like for myself. So I knew I was going to need to put up a website. And I thought, you know, here I'll go ahead and just throw one together. And literally, I put it together in a weekend, not the one that you see now, but one
no.
not too far off, but not too far mm-hmm. off, honestly. I mean, I use Squarespace. I highly recommend Squarespace, a women-owned company, really simple tools to use. I put it up there, and I ended up going to this conference, and Reed Tracy, who is the CEO of Hay House and who I've known for years through the business, the spirituality publishing business, is very small. He saw me there. I mean, Nancy told him I was going to be there, and he brought me up to the microphone and had me answer some questions about editing and what is editing and pricing and things like that really briefly. And the next thing you know, I gave away all of my cards. And I thought, if I end up getting even a fraction of the work that I just potentially got, I'm going to be totally overwhelmed. I need to get some people who I know who could help. So I just started calling my friends who are editors, and I just said, hey, you know, I just need you, editors generally who had left their publishing businesses or were already freelance or something like that. I said, hey, can you do a little work for me on the side? Like, I might have some projects coming. Well, the day I got back from that conference, I had just an email inbox full of people who wanted to work with us. So that was the genesis of it. And I kept saying, I remember saying to Nancy, if this thing ends up not being fun at any point, I want you to tell me, because I will probably not stop it. I'll keep going because that's what I do, but I don't want to do this. And when it stops being fun, I want to close this business that I'm starting. And she said, great, I'll keep an eye on it. And by the way, there have been many times when it has not been fun, and Nancy has never let me off the hook. So I still have a business, thanks to Nancy. But basically, I started, you know, I probably had 3 editors, you know, just sort of freelance. I'm like, okay, here's what I'll pay you. Here's what I'm going to charge the person for the work. Here's what I'll pay you. And I made a little margin on it, you know. And the next thing you know, I get invited to the next conference, and Reed walks up to me. This is maybe, I don't know, 4 months later. He walks up to me at the conference the first morning and says, I want to put you on stage this morning. So prepare, you know, I want you to talk for about 20 minutes about editing. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So the video that's on my website, I literally did not prepare for that talk at all. He pulled me up on stage. That was in San Francisco, I think in 2014, if I'm remembering correctly. Or no, at the end of 2013. And it went well because, you know, when you talk about something you know really well, it goes really easily. And then after that conference, I had even more people wanting help. And so basically, the business has just grown since then. And now I have an office manager. I have 2 salespeople who we call editorial matchmakers because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. They talk to potential clients. You've probably talked to one of our matchmakers.
I have.
Great. And they find out, like, who are you and what are you looking for and what's your personality like and what's the topic that you're working on? Oh, wow, we've got this editor over here who really loves yoga too, or we've got this one over here who is, you know, somebody who really can talk very fast, because you talk very fast. We don't necessarily say that, but, you know, there's a pacing thing that needs to be sort of equivalent. So we find a person who's the right match, introduce you, and then you guys go off together. I mean, we watch the whole process and manage it. And I mean, it's taken every bit of the past 3.5 years to get the business to the place where it is now. But now we really know what we're doing. We have a well-oiled machine over here, and things are going really well. And I just to back to the question you asked, like, how did I make that decision to jump in the business? I didn't. And for the first year and a half, I remember saying, I don't know, I'm doing this thing. There's this little thing I'm doing. It's like a little business thing. And then there was a point where I woke up, and this was the metaphor that came in my mind. you got accidentally pregnant with this business. You now mm-hmm. have a toddler who's toddling mm-hmm. around, and you either need to decide whether you're gonna raise this child or whether you're gonna give it away. Like, those are your two choices. And I decided to raise it. I said, okay, I'm gonna put everything that I have into building this business. And that's when I stopped coaching and decided, like, I was going to put 100% of my efforts and energy into the business. And by the way, that is when everything went to hell. mostly internally, I really got to this place where once I committed to it, then mm-hmm. all my stuff came up. All of my not deserving, all of my not worthy, all of the old stuff, it all came up the minute I committed. So it's very funny. I got into intimacy with my business, and then all the stuff that comes up in intimacy started coming up, and it was an opportunity. I got to work through so many of my childhood, like, stuff that I hadn't really had to look at, and mm-hmm. So I see my business both as a business and also a spiritual practice, frankly.
Yes, and thank you so much for saying that, because that is something that comes up for so many people. And when things fall apart, yes, sometimes you're in the wrong place doing the wrong thing.
But
more often than not, when things fall apart, it's such a great opportunity for growth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a gift. And no, I don't love it when my life falls apart either. But looking back on it, oh my gosh, yes, it's wonderful. And also, that's something, one of my favorite quotes is, before spirituality, chop wood, carry water. After spiritual enlightenment, chop wood, carry water.
Totally.
we still have to do the work, and the work is hard and icky, and just persevere. And if things fall mm-hmm. apart, I guess they fall apart.
right, definitely. And to trust it, that's what was big for me, is learning to trust the process, that when things fall apart, they fall apart for a reason. It's not mm-hmm. the end of the world. I had a really wonderful mm-hmm. client who said to me, because we were having some trouble actually with one of our contractors, which has only happened one time. And mm-hmm. I was talking to this client about it, and she was a business owner and had been for many years. And she said, you know, when I first started my business, I thought that a lawsuit would take us down. I thought that that would be the end of everything. And as she's saying this, these are the exact words that had been going through my mind. This is going to be the end. I'm going to lose my business. If we get sued, this is the end of everything. She's like, no, it's fine. It'll all work out. Don't worry. And just that reassurance helped so, mm-hmm. so much. So it's like remembering that when you haven't been a business owner before, or you haven't done any particular type of work that you're changing into, you don't know what the rules are. And you're going to learn them by trial and error, no matter what they are.
True.
And just trust the process and know that people have done this before, and it's going to be okay. It really is going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really will be. Because when you're in the right place doing the right things, the universe just kind of steps in and guides you along. It might sound silly, but it's the truth.
I think it's true, too, and it's a test of faith in my world. Am I going to give in to the fear that this is the end, or am I going to just be with the fact that this is what's here right now, and I don't have to make up a story about it, and I don't have to say to myself, oh, you screwed up, and this is, you know, I don't have to do that to myself, which has been a real big transition for me and one of the biggest journeys of my own spiritual, you know, process, is getting out of the place where I am self-punishing and assume mm-hmm. that everything's going to go wrong, because that's how it would go for someone like me. And, you know, getting to see that I even had those stories in there, which I did for a really long time, has been one of the big gifts of KM Literary for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I'm not sure if you're familiar with my 5 steps of flaunt, but it's find your fetish, laugh out loud. AU is accept unconditionally, and is navigate the negative, and T is trust in the truth. And when you were talking about that, I was thinking about that, accepting unconditionally. Things happen, and you're right, we spin them up in our heads so often and make things worse than they are, or we anticipate something to the point that we have created this huge roadblock that doesn't even exist.
Yep.
And it's just accepting, and I don't know how you are, but I feel like I'm competent and smart and capable, and I'm a go-getter.
Mm-hmm.
So when I don't know something, sometimes I'm like, I don't know this.
Yes,
and it becomes this huge thing. And if you just ask, somebody else
yep.
knows it, and they've been through it.
Totally.
You're like, I can hire a
mentors.
Yes, it's like, hey, I can hire a web designer. Okay, that's easy.
Yep. Don't have to.
And it's over.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I love that. Again, just it's a lot, but you just trust it. You let your stuff come up, and you work through.
Yep.
So today, you have got a very successful business with mm-hmm. successful people working for you. You've got a lot of clients.
Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned that your partner is sick and that
yeah.
is actually a really – having Can Literary is a huge blessing because you can work
yeah.
wherever you need to be for that.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts for the future of this toddler that you're raising, or are you just letting it come?
You know, it's a really interesting place. So a lot of times, again, in this online business world and what they call the laptop lifestyle, you know, people who are running businesses virtually, my team is all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
There's sort of an idea that you got to be growing, you got to be getting bigger, and you can take it this way and, you know, take the vertical over here, and all, you know, there's all these different ideas about how things are supposed to happen. And it's been an identity revision in me again
mm-hmm.
to say, I am not going to try to be the best. Like, could this
yes.
business blow up to a level beyond my wildest dreams? Actually, I do think it could. I've heard from enough
mm-hmm.
people who know enough about the world and the business that it could. And
yes.
I don't want that, at least not right now. I really
yes.
want to be able to have most of my days free to take care of Benjamin and to be with our
mm-hmm.
family and to be coordinating
mm-hmm.
his care and our friends and our community and all of that. That is definitely my number one priority right now. And I'm lucky enough
mm-hmm.
that I have a rock star team who are handling things. And it's not that they're handling things for me right now. There was a time a few months back where I took 8 weeks off and they had to like, okay, we're running the show. And now
right.
I'm back in that position of sort of CEO, and I meet with all my team every week and, you know, have much more interaction, and I'm back with my attention in the world having interviews like this. But it really doesn't take up more than about half of my time, even sometimes less.
Good.
And that's where I want it to be right now. There's a lot
right.
of opportunity and a lot of interesting things, and I am such an achiever that if I see a
yes.
mountain, it's like, oh, I want to climb that mountain. And
I'll do it. Right.
Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I can see what I would need to do. I really have like almost even a step-by-step idea of what the process would look like to explode the business. And you know what? Right now, I don't need to explode it. It's
mm-hmm.
bringing in the income that I need. It's paying the bills. It's bringing in income for my wonderful team. It's helping so many women out there, mostly women. Most of our clients are women. We've got some awesome men clients too. But
yes.
helping so many women find their voice, their message, and put it out in the world. Like, everything is fine about my business right now. I don't need to like feel like I'm somehow missing something if I don't keep pushing. Where I am right
mm-hmm.
now is just the stable place. And I do imagine that the business will grow over the next
right.
10, 15, 20 years, honestly. Like, I intend to have this business for the long term, and I can see all these different ways that it will grow and change, but it's going to grow at my pace. Because, again,
correct.
Back to sort of who, you know, what it is that I wanted when I started down this path is to have a lifestyle that fits me, just like you say, it's right for me. And that doesn't,
mm-hmm.
that to me right now, there's 60-hour weeks, but don't fit into
that's
that.
That's not right for you.
Not right for
right.
me right now.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? And I love that you are at peace with where it's at, because
yeah.
you know yourself and you know your situation, and you know, and that is what it's all about, is, you know thyself. If that's
yes.
where it's about.
Yep,
know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I have a big kind of a final question for you, and I don't want
sure.
to put you on the spot.
Okay.
But I want to know who you are, who Kelly is, because, and this is something I ask my clients all the time, you
mm-hmm.
are not your job, you are not your, you know, relationship to others, and you've talked about deconstructing and reconstructing your identity, you've talked about
yeah.
moving into different things, and I'm just curious, in your own words, who are you?
Wow, fascinating question. I mean, the first thing that comes up is I am a seeker of truth. I'm a devoted spiritual practitioner, and that doesn't necessarily even translate into one lineage or one religion. Certainly, I am an explorer of my own consciousness. You know, I am a meditator,
yes.
And I am someone who is fearless, I would say, about looking at myself and doing my deep work. So just as an example of something that in my world right now, I'm in a 2-year training for people who want to find the depths of who they are and then also be in the world, in the group fields of our culture as a change agent simply by changing our own internal interior states. And it's a teaching that the teacher's name is Thomas Hubel, and he's an amazing spiritual teacher who has just come into the U.S. culture. He's Austrian, but what I love about him is that he's very much about bringing together ancient spiritual practice and wisdom with our marketplace today. Like, he calls it the marketplace. We're not living in caves. We're not in monasteries. We're right here in our homes, in our businesses, in our relationships with our partners and our friends and our families. And this is where waking up happens. And he offers processes and practices for integrating awakening practice into every day. So that's really who I am at my heart. Like, when I'm with my sangha, with the group of people that I'm taking this 2-year training with, that's when I feel most myself. Like, we are all here together. We're figuring out who we are and what we can bring to the world, starting with our deep interior state. So
I love
about
that.
Who I am.
Absolutely. And, you know, love also that you say this is a 2-year process. It's not like we become ourselves in 15 minutes and we read a book and it's done.
Nope.
So, what a beautiful commitment and what a beautiful practice. Mm. And I think that's a fantastic description of you. And I feel very honored to know somebody like you.
Oh, thank you so much, Laura. I've so enjoyed talking to you today.
Oh, likewise, and best of luck with everything. And if you'd like to give the listeners your website and contact information, could you go ahead and do that?
Sure, of course. So you can find us at knliterary.com. And if you're interested in finding out more about what we do, we have a really, we like to talk, if you couldn't tell based on me. We love to talk about books. And you can fill out our questionnaire and sign up for a phone call with one of our matchmakers. We are so not a hard sell company. You will not get on the phone and feel any obligation to come and work with us at all, but we can answer questions about books and publishing and all sorts of different things. There's also our blog and a lot of good information on the website. So hopefully, if you're looking to get your voice out in the world, that will be a resource that will be helpful to you.
Absolutely. And thank you very much for your time and for your energy today.
Of course. Thank you, Laura.
Tune in next time to Flaunt. Build your dreams, live your sparkle with radio host Laura Cheadle every Wednesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come release outdated labels, roles, and scripts. Reveal the calling of your soul and re-choreograph your own life, even when you're unsure of what you want. In 5 bold and glittering strokes, you too can build your dreams and live your sparkle. Find out more about Laura at pyramidfusion.com.